EY today.
Comedy of the errors, but we already knew that, didn't we, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, hey, everybody. Hope you're keeping warm in these cold times across the USA. Kate Delaney, the captain of the ship called America tonight. As always, some choppy waters out there. Wait till you find out what happened at Newark. Yeah, that eye in the sky. We got the camera right there. We're watching everybody, that TSA surveillance. Not so much. And then the president talking about the big screw-up, of course. Once again, I feel like I've talked about this for 10 hours on the air. But it was incredible that this plane did not go down. The Christmas Day incident was a screw-up. And that's the words that the president used at one point. He said screw-up. He told the security chiefs that the botched Christmas Day plane bombing was the result of, yep, the dreaded SU. By somebody in intelligence, and that the country had barely dodged a huge disaster. Yeah, barely dodged it is right, because what if 300 people had perished in that flight? Or I don't care if one did. It could have been a hole in the plane. Who knows? Bottom line is, thank goodness, it did not happen. So now do we have eyes wide open yet at this point? And here's the finger pointing, but yet nobody is fired. I'm thinking, if I'm on that plane, and then I realize, because, you know, you don't really know what's happening as it's unfolding. You might if you were sitting close, and some of the passengers said that. But you're in the back, and you hear some little bit of commotion, whatever, so, ooh, not good, but you don't know what's going on. Then this whole thing blows up, and you start to hear about Abdullah Muttalib and that his father called the embassy and let them know. And, oh, yeah, two Al-Qaeda guys who were in Gitmo that got released a couple of years ago helped sew the device to the underwear. And, oh, yeah, he paid in cash and it was one way. Then by then you're fuming. I'm on that flight. Not only am I am thanking God every day that I'm alive, but now I'm hearing all these things, and I just can't believe it. But yet nobody gets canned as a result of this. So whose fault was it? FBI? CIA? Who in law enforcement? Somebody at the embassy? Somebody working with the TSA? Somebody not looking into the databases? Because this was an easy get. That's the scary thing. If you can't get the easy ones, how are you going to get somebody who's a little clever, somebody who's more trained? I mean, this was a 23-year-old, wet behind the ears, wannabe terrorist Nigerian kid, basically, who was embracing suddenly, you know, becoming radicalized and embracing the whole idea of being a jihadist and whatnot. But he was inexperienced. He wasn't crafty or clever. He was soaking it all in, and he was the mule. So he missed. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. Imagine if you get somebody who's a little bit more on the ball. How scary would that be? How much would our defenses be down if you had somebody who really knew how to circumvent things and had their act together? Then everybody would have paid. All that security in place. And you think of the futility from this approach all the way down. I mean, really, it's like a citizen force. We're probably all better deterrents on the plane than anything that's happening in the air. Now, as I listen to the talking heads across the tube, and what I hear is, no, we're so much safer. I mean, we're so much better off than we were during 9/11, when after that happened and before that happened and moving forward. But I find it hard to believe that as we go back to that. And then we move forward and we look at Newark. This just happened, folks, the other day. Somebody gets through a secure area, walks back in and around, no problem. So let's look at the camera. Let's try to figure out who this bozo is. What if he was somebody dropping off a unpleasant package, let's say? So for 6 hours, locked down at the airport, people having to come back the next day, rescreening them, everything. Just chaos. There wasn't even anything in place to handle the situation. So then you're going to go through the surveillance tapes. But guess what? TSA wasn't rolling. They didn't have the surveillance tapes going. Yeah. They didn't want people to know that. But somebody in New York dug hard enough when they were asking about seeing the tapes, you know, the whole Freedom of Information Act and all that, and they didn't have the tapes to give because they weren't rolling. And it says clearly in that airport and probably many others that you're being surveilled. If we remember to turn on the button. And this is after. This is weeks after what happened. I don't know. Words of comfort from our president or just more of the same? Now, in all fairness, it's interesting because you've got a lot of people, and not just Democrats or former Democrats or people who served in a Democratic White House. You do have a lot of Republicans that are saying, hey, look, he's doing what he's supposed to do. The president is not too soft on terror. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I think what he said is fine. He did say it was a screw-up, that whole thing basically pointing to somebody. But you need to make changes. Janet Napolitano should not be the Homeland Security Director because she's proven again and again, in my eyes, she cannot handle this gig. She can't do it. You have to have people who are alert at the wheel, for goodness sake. Because if you don't, next time the 300 people in the air will be gone, poof, like that. Dana is listening to us in Texas. You, my dear, get the first crack at this. Hello.
Well, hi, Kate. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I've got some gripes.
We all do, yeah.
Now, what was it Obama said when he took office? I got to think of the right word. What did he say his administration was going to be?
Transparent.
Oh, I know. Yes, and it's so damn transparent, you don't even see it. You know, this man is chewing everybody out, but yet it took him almost 2 weeks to really get serious, and he certainly wasn't going to let anything interrupt his Hawaiian vacation, was he? He didn't. It took him, 2 to 3 days to even respond on a national interview. Everybody kept waiting, and he wasn't saying nothing to the press. And then all of a sudden he pops up, but he sure didn't cut his vacation short, did he?
No.
I called that a need of emergency. He needed to get to D.C. and look into this immediately. But no, almost 2 weeks later, today, this happened 2 weeks this Friday on Christmas Day. He didn't bother to deter his plans at all, did he? You know, when Joe Biden was interviewed as saying that this does not make Americans feel safe when they don't see the president responding into an emergency situation. And he said this to the news just within 2 or 3 days after this happened. You know, Joe Biden was looking out for the American people, and he was upset because Obama didn't bother to do what he should have done, which was go to D.C. and look into this seriously. He continued his vacation. I have a problem with that. Do you?
Yeah. I think, Dana, we're up against it, but thanks. I do. I think here's what I think should have happened, and this is what I don't understand. He's the leader of the free world. He's in Hawaii. He can stay in Hawaii because maybe going back to D.C., what's that going to do, right? You have all the access with you. So just set up a satellite shot and could talk to the people you need to talk to and make a statement right there as soon as you get some of the facts. But that could be within the day, and he could have done it from Hawaii. I think that would have been the smarter move. Even a casual press conference. Stay with us.
It's obvious God loves us and has a sense of humor. Why? Because he created peppermint. Hi, this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht for GetMint.com. We all know that mint is fun and delicious, but did you know it's also great for your health? Research shows mint can help soothe a headache or calm an upset stomach. It's antimicrobial and antiviral, so it's perfect for flu season too. You can use it to chase bugs and mice out of your pantry without toxic chemicals. And kids love its great cool taste. GetMint.com offers quality peppermint and spearmint oils made right here in the USA by fourth-generation mint farmer Peppermint Jim. His pure, pungent mint oils are 100% natural, free from harmful chemicals, and very affordable. So improve your health and spice up your life with natural mint products from GetMint.com or call 1-800-345-9068. That's GetMint.com or 1-800-345-9068 and feel the minty freshness.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Again, coming up in the third hour, we're going to give away our golf certificate for the Dave Peltz Golf Clinic. Yeah, how cool is that? It's like a $500 value. Somebody wins it, they go off and get schooled in the fine art of the frustrating short game and the great game of golf. All right, we're talking about a different game. It's the game of politics that seems to constantly get in the way, and it's bureaucracy. That's what it is. For anybody who's had a government job or no. Anybody who works in the government, I have a friend who works for the IRS and has worked for the IRS, let me see, for 20 years. And she likes her job, but will be frustrated constantly because you can't take one move outside of the box. You have to follow the policy, whether it's inaccurate or outdated or makes no sense. So there are massive, and this is just the IRS, there are massive, I think, problems still that we saw after 9/11 that have not been solved. The riddle of sharing information, it makes absolutely no sense to me, especially something so preventable. If we have the information, connecting the dots could not have been that hard. I mean, really, honestly. So the former Homeland Security Director, Tom Ridge, was on earlier in the day, and I happened to catch this on with Andrea Mitchell. I thought it was a pretty good interview that she did. Some of what he had to say made a lot of sense. It's exactly what all of us have assumed and have been saying, and it's obvious we know what the answer is. The problem is the red tape, baby. And here's what he said about that.
Well, there are some that would argue that when we created another intelligence bureaucracy upon the existing bureaucracy, that we would complicate the problem associated with analyzing all the information that's out there. I think that might be overstated, but I think there is some truth to that. At the end of the day, there are a couple of things that I think the president is obviously looking at today. First of all, did we forget about using some common sense? I mean, we've lamented the fact for a long time, Andrea, that we haven't had good human intelligence. But when a father comes into the embassy on several occasions...
It doesn't get much better than that.
And so one wonders, and I think most Americans wonder, why didn't somebody just pick up the phone? I know you, the State Department can email and the CIA can send it to the National Counterterrorism Terrorist, but isn't this at a threshold where you'd give someone a personal immediate alert? The second piece of the challenge, I think, is the technical piece. I claim they've got 500,000 people on the watch list and no-fly list, and that's a problem. But you and I used our credit cards over the holidays, and we're in a database with hundreds of millions of people, and we got a no-no-go, creditworthy, not creditworthy. So I think there's some attitudinal adjustments that have to be made, and clearly some technical modifications that have to be made within the infrastructure.
Yeah, some serious technical modifications that need to be made, including some people that need to go because they're just not doing their job. And Ridge went on further in the discussion to talk about how we've gotten further away from what happened on 9/11, the more people forget about it. I say this at least once or twice a week on the show. It's like the going after Osama bin Laden. Have we forgot? We haven't forgotten, right? What's happened in New York and what happened at the Pentagon and what happened in that field in Shanksville. I didn't know anybody. I was in New York, but I didn't know anybody who was in the buildings. But I did have a connection to the Pentagon. I think I told this story. My mother was working in an agency where she was trying to help people. She was trying to actually get them jobs, put them in right positions in government jobs. And there was a guy that was bugging her for a very long time, a young guy who was in the Navy and got out of the Navy and desperately wanted to work for the Pentagon. And she tried and she tried and she tried, and finally she got him in the Pentagon. He went to work, and she was so excited about this. He went to work for 1 week, and he was killed when the plane hit the Pentagon. Just terrible luck of where he happened to be in that building. He was one of the people, young, only in his mid-20s. So, and then, you know, as a result of that, it makes you think that the whole thing, the preciousness of life, etc. But what we learned from 9/11 is that you have to share that information, right? And that there had to be a watch list. That was the big thing. You had to look for people. I mean, we knew what happened there, that there was one-way tickets and flight schools where they weren't even learning to land the plane, for goodness sake, and paid in cash. Hello, red flags. But, okay, you get to the airport scenario and the student visas and all that other sort of stuff. And here we are again. We find ourselves 8, 9 years later. How could it be that we would find ourselves with this information and not using it? It makes no sense. And so, again, back to that thing of forgetting about what happened, because the years roll on and it gets further away and we haven't had anything happen. Oh, yeah, some things were thwarted, but nobody was blown up in a subway, a plane didn't go down, all that stuff. And so this is, I think, why we're getting caught. And Tom Ridge agrees that that's part of the problem.
I think if it was September 12th, 2001, the day after 9/11, people would have been hitting the send button and people would have paid more attention to it. I'm afraid over the past 7 or 8 years, we're not quite as tuned in. There's not quite that sense of urgency. And at the end of the day, what they probably need is also a knowledge management tool. You've got all this information into the NCTC, and I'm sure one of the things the president is saying to the group today: what are the thresholds? What are the responsibilities? How soon do we get it there? Who's going to look at it? And I think one of the biggest things the president could do to this whole group today is rekindle in them the sense of it's better to be overprepared than underprepared. Err on the side of protecting America. I know it's tough to do, but this will require the president to help fundamentally change some attitudes, because I do think that we don't have that sense of urgency, and we still don't have people inclined to hit the send button. It's still siloed, still a need to know versus a need to share. And I said this before, I know Secretary Napolitano regrets the statement she made, but at the end of the day, Homeland Security and TSA can only operate on information they have in their presence, and they didn't have it in front of them. They couldn't very well operate with it.
All right, so there he is defending her, and he is defending the organization, saying that they didn't have the information. So, but you heard the part about sharing the information and why it's not getting shared is, again, beyond me. So Obama, in the botched Christmas Day terror attack for that airliner bound for Detroit, basically did a 90-minute what we would call a come-to-Jesus meeting, right, supposedly, at a super-secure White House Situation Room. And when Obama talked to America, right, about the government, he seemed pretty solemn, pretty grim-faced about it. That's how he's being described. And I think that's pretty accurate, saying he wouldn't accept it, he wouldn't tolerate it. The playtime is over. A handful of people should be gone as a result of this. They have to cut the crap. You cannot have information and not share it, because it could have resulted in people dying. And, I think the people in those positions have to be aggressive and turn over the information. If anything, it would be better to be cautious and be ridiculous over the top, but obviously that is not happening. So at this big meeting, you had Leon Panetta, the CIA director, the director of national intelligence, Dennis Blair, and Janet Napolitano was there, and of course with the president for those 90 minutes, and some other people as well. And who do you point the finger at? Who up the ladder of every single agency that saying they had failures or whatever? You know, forget the whole finger pointing. Let's just chop somebody out. That's what has to happen. You have a guy like Abdullah Mutallab, the 23-year-old Nigerian who could have set off that explosive device. If it had worked, that we would be talking about a much different thing here. How do you have? I don't want to keep hammering this point. I don't want the show to become this, but how do you have a father who warns the embassy that his son was being very extreme and he had drifted into the Al-Qaeda hotbed of Yemen, because that's what it's being described as. So his father was concerned. He was concerned about his son. But I guess they didn't really digest that. They didn't really get that. What did they think? His kid. It's his kid. He's probably not thinking straight. Come on. If a father does it, I don't know any father that does that. So it wasn't a whim. So I don't understand why that wasn't pursued more. Al is listening to us across the border in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, Kate. Team USA just beat Team Canada.
I know. We know, 6-5.
Oh, it's on the radar screen down there, eh?
Oh, yeah, I watched it, and so did Matt.
Yeah, it was right in my hometown here, Saskatoon.
How about that?
That's how we can win the war on terrorism. Just you don't take a knife to a gunfight.
That's right. First of all, you take smarter people. Thanks, Al. You take smarter people into the foxhole with you. Sorry about Team Canada, Al, but it was the USA's turn. Go USA. That was a pretty sweet win. 6-5. Stay with us.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights, and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights, or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and A-Q-U-A Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
I like to see you look right across the floor. I like to do it.
All right, we're going to take you global in our next segment. But right here domestically, I told you about the Newark screw-up, the fact that the TSA surveillance camera wasn't on. Oops, good time for a mistake, huh? And then, of course, the president addressing us and the nation, I guess, to explain the what happened with the flight at Christmas time, and not really explain it, but basically say that everybody was taking a task for the big screw-up that could have been disastrous, because there was a huge, super, super secure Situation Room meeting, and I mentioned all the people that were there saying he wouldn't tolerate it. Whew. Nice to get a little slap on the wrist for a big screw-up that could have led to the deaths of how many Americans. But, I mean, at this point, we've been talking about this ad nauseum. It's ridiculous. And moving forward, you know, it's, I say this, and I really mean this, you have to be responsible for yourself. You cannot rely on the government to help you. It reminds me, sadly, of the fact that after 9/11, what happened, and because I was there in New York, you know, you really got the full brunt of what it was like to see people walking around like zombies and in complete shock. But it's interesting what happened when the first plane went in. You had a lot of the other companies in the second building and announcements that were saying, "Oh, you know, just don't rush out. Everything's fine." Da, 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 da. And I thought, boy, would you listen to that? I mean, I would get right up from my desk and say, if it's nothing and it was some small commuter plane and how sad for the other tower, I don't care. I would immediately leave that building. And it's the same, I think it goes with the same theory in a different way. If you are relying and waiting on in a situation to be bailed out, forget about it. And in on that plane, they weren't going to be bailed out. There was no bailing out to happen. It was because the device didn't work that nothing happened. If it had, then who was going to be able to bail anyone out at that point? They would be lucky if they'd be able to land the plane. Maybe it would have led to the plane crashing. Just to say that's not acceptable and I won't tolerate it, just a little, I think he needed to, I think the president needs to say that, but I think that at this point they need to change people. They need to change some of the people at the table because it's not working. We've had 8-9 years, granted a different administration, but at this point to not get the simple stuff right is more than not acceptable. I mean, come on. So since this attack, or what would have been this attack on December 25th, the government has added dozens of names to the list of suspected terrorists and people barred from flights bound for the U.S. And the most ridiculous thing, I think, of all that I happen to hear is the thing with Joan Rivers. She's in Costa Rica on a vacation, and they have her married name on her passport, and she gets stopped after she's gone through, by the way, 5 checkpoints, and then she gets stopped and can't get on the plane. And, you know, and I could care less about Joan Rivers, but the fact that there's a perfect example of stupidity versus somebody you really need to stop and shut down. And we see this played out across the country and obviously internationally, you know, as well. So bottom line is, you are responsible for yourself. Mark in New York, hello.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't want to rehash 9/11, but if the pilots were armed on some of them flights, it would have stopped.
Oh, no
and
kidding.
Obama has actually increased the number of pilots, or I've heard that they're not going to wind it down. They're going to increase the pilots, you know, carrying the guns, which is a good thing. But that could have stopped it. And also, during the World Trade Center, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't announce in Spanish that they were evacuating that building. So the people, the immigrants that worked in a restaurant upstairs didn't speak English. They didn't know what was going on. So that was that's tragic. But hey, I want to bring up two topics, if I could, the economy and terrorism. But can I go to the economy first?
Yeah.
I've been holding this article from the New York Post since December 31st. Are you aware? I'm sure you are. They're both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently now are going to have access to unlimited funds,
yes,
without congressional approval. The chief executives from Fannie and Freddie will get $900,000 each in annual compensation, bonuses up to $6 million, which are $42 million in special compensation. Apparently a couple of congressmen, Spencer Baucus and Scott Garrett, are called the House Financial Services Committee to have a hearing on this. Have we learned nothing about what would happen in the past? Now they have unlimited access to our money. That's why when I saw Barney Frank on CNBC earlier this morning, I wanted to puke, because this is the guy that belongs out of office. And yet he just keeps going on with the lies about how, you know, they were against regulation, now they're for it. It's such a farce. Him and Chris Dodd, who I hope loses the election to somebody, to the dog catcher.
No. Wait, let me stop you there. Senator Dodd, I found this out, and I think the story is going to break nationally, or maybe it already has. Senator Dodd is going to have a press conference tomorrow, and he's going to resign because they have too
really?
Much on him. Yeah, he's going to resign. Isn't that great? It's like Christmas Day, yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you, I'm going to have another cup of coffee, maybe go for a walk around the block. That's amazing. You got to get the rest of these creeps out. This is amazing. And there was something else on the economy, if I could, just a couple of seconds. New issue on National Review, they were talking about how GM is actually hiring people up in Canada, how Canada and Australia, its economy is booming. But there's something very very important your listeners should know. It's Kevin Williamson's column in the new issue of National Review. He talked about how, why is the United States lagging? And it's a long article, but it's very important. It says, listen to this quote, there's a bunch of money sitting on the sidelines, because said one investment manager, because nobody knows what the hell they're going to do in Washington. End quote. The point is, nobody does know what they're going to do. So entrepreneurs, people in this country, they're sitting on the sidelines, and they're saying, it's, you know, people don't want to invest their money, but here, the reason why, and when I saw this, I couldn't believe it. He said, one surprising finding. It's not the size or expense of the government alone that has sent the United States downward in the economic freedom rankings. It's corruption. We're not talking about outright bribery or petty corruption. It's the perception that the United States political system is about rent-seeking and dispensing favors. And it goes on to say that the people in Washington are buying access and picking winners and losers, and it creates a perception that the United States shows up in the corruption scores. I'm offended that my country is a freaking banana republic. Kate.
I know.
This is sad. And then maybe the Chris Dodds expulsion is a turning point. But the whole House of Representatives, everybody's got to be turned out. I'm speeding up because that's what I wanted to talk about, the economy. I just wanted your people to get awareness. But one other topic, if I could.
Freddie and the Fannie thing, though, back to that again, how they're still continue to pump out the material, the propaganda. If you Wikipedia it or any of that stuff, you'll see
right.
it. But you're right. I saw that thing in the Post, and it went worldwide. It was on AP and whatever. Outrageous, right. Those numbers. Like you said, 900,000.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And speaking of corruption or just insider influence, both Tom Ridge and Michael Chertoff are shareholders in these companies that make these scanners. So I just want you folks to know that. If they didn't know it, they should know that. So just watch what they say, because if they're all for putting the scanners everywhere.
Of course, they want the money.
They want the money. And speaking of terrorism, two things. The Brazilian airliner that broke up supposedly in the thunderstorm, how do we know that wasn't blown out of the sky? And how, if this Detroit airliner was blown out of the sky, how quick would they come up and say, well, we're not sure if it was terrorism? Because they do that also. The point I'm bringing up is it's a constant battle with the truth. And you have to worry about what they tell you, not what they don't tell you on CNN, and what they do tell you. And this will make my last point. Something that they didn't tell you about that guy that shot up the federal building in Las Vegas, we didn't talk about that. He apparently had a problem with the Social Security Administration. He was fighting them. This is not a racial thing. I'm just telling you, because if it was a middle-aged white guy, an NRA member, or God forbid, a militia member or a survivalist, we'd still be hearing about it. That was a black fellow who was upset with the Social Security Administration that he couldn't get his benefits, and he opened fire. And unfortunately, he killed, you know, the court officer and he shot the marshal.
That's right.
You can't look. The guy had the wrong. He should have went to Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson and said, "Look, help me out here," or go to the NAACP. This is what you're supposed to do, because the last thing you do, and it's not a racial call, but no matter who you are, you can't go shooting up the feds, because
no. The
guy that you kill is probably just a family man or a retired cop, okay? If you've got something against the system, and I agree that the system sucks, but that's not the way to go about it. But only CNN had one quick verb that it was a black guy that did it. I said, you know what, they never say that, because there was a guy in Cleveland, if you remember, he had a problem with the city council, and he shot like four or five people.
Yeah.
So the reason I bring it up is every time it's a white guy that does it, it's just that they hype it, you know, and you never hear about the fact that, hey, here's a guy that's a person of color that did this. And unfortunately, it may continue to happen, and I hope it doesn't. But people are frustrated of all races and creeds. And it's just I said I knew something was fishy with that because they didn't say what the guy looked like right away. I said, you know, I'm sorry to be thinking about it in a racial aspect, but I've been conditioned, because ever since I'm a kid, I'm hearing that white man and white man, America, everything that's problem with the world, and this was told to me by a Black Panther, is the cause of the white man. So I just try to, you know, bring a little color and perspective, no pun intended.
I understand what you're saying, and bringing it around, absolutely, you're 100% right. That was sage advice. Do not go and blow up the innocent people, because that's what you're doing. It's the guy who's a grandfather or getting ready to retire or whatever. So you're not doing anything. You're not doing yourself, your family, you're not doing anybody any favors by doing that. And there is frustration bubbling out, and that's what we're seeing.
You actually give the politicians to say, look, see what happened? Let's look at it. Because they know that the rules that they passed, the legislation, no matter what you take your pick, whether it's abortion, the gun laws, drug laws, they know that when the time comes for someone to knock on your door, it won't be Chuck Schumer, it won't be Bloomberg, it won't be the president, it'll be the minions that have to follow the rules.
Right.
So if someone wants to come to my door and it's a police officer in my town who I happen to know, or friends or family, well, I'm not going to shoot them. You know what I mean? But they know that they're protected by the laws that they pass, and they just let the underclass do it. Thanks, babe.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, you have a good one. Great call. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, rather, if you want to throw in your 2 cents. Coming up next, how somebody thwarted security abroad. We'll let you know where that happened. Stay with us.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the 1-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
Hanging out with you here on these airwaves, America Tonight. Hope that 2010 has started off on a good note for you, hopefully. Fingers crossed and all that. A lot of people thinking 2009 was the worst of the worst because of the unemployment, the economy, and, you know, sort of feast or famine. There wasn't an in-between so much. At least people in my own world, and many of you who called, it seemed that everything was either rolling along or else it was just disastrous, and you were on the train tracks that were headed down that highway to hell. A rough ride. So I hope that everybody, wherever you are listening to this show, is, like I said, off to a swimming start for the beginning of the new year. Certainly we aren't when it comes to politics, except for that we're seeing pressure put on the guys like Chris Dodd, who announced that he's going to, it's leaking out that he's going to retire. He's going to have a newser on Wednesday to say that he will not seek re-election. And, of course, he's been there so long, and part of the reason why is because all of the mortgage nonsense with him. There's just too much, and that was all exposed, I think. And ultimately, the time was ticking away for Chris Dodd, and certainly he knew that at this point. And so he's done with the Senate. I think for some it might be a surprise, because it looked as though, and I said this a couple of months ago, that he was going to hang on no matter what. And there were a couple of things that you would have thought that would have chopped him out, especially with the stimulus and other things. But once the special privileges, the VIP mortgage deal from Countrywide was announced, that he got a sweetheart deal, I think, and even though he was cleared by the Senate Ethics Committee, I think that was probably one of the final things that was going to take Dodd out, truly. All right, I mentioned this is a terrible thing to announce in light of how the world is now viewing airport security, but not just coming into the United States. Check this out from Dublin. A Slovakian man carried hidden explosives on board a flight to Dublin after the airport security test apparently didn't work out. The interior minister for Slovak said that he was regretful to the Irish government for the oversight and the three-day delay in alerting Irish authorities. So in Dublin, the security folks said it was foolish for the Slovaks to hide bomb parts in the luggage of unwitting passengers under any circumstances. They were doing this as a test, and they didn't tell them. So the one thing that comes out of it, though, and that's probably why Dublin said that, is that they bungled it. So the security experts say that the episode certainly illustrated how inadequate the security screening of checked-in luggage was, and that was the point that the Slovak authorities were trying to make when they placed the components in 9 passengers' bags. But check this out. They placed real bomb parts. Okay, not a bomb, but real bomb parts. What they put is they had a bag with about 3 ounces of RDX plastic explosives. It went undetected. Undetected. And then they had a couple of other things that related to explosives that were planted in other bags as well. So the Irish justice minister said that the Dublin police eventually confirmed that the explosives were concealed without knowledge or consent, and it was, you know, part of a airport security exercise. Whew. And the Dublin airport confirmed that no incoming baggage is screened in Dublin. So they didn't find out about the explosives until the Irish police, who were tipped off from the Slovakians that had happened. Oh, that's embarrassing, isn't it? So I guess they're going to have to test the screening capability of the baggage screeners there, because they didn't nail any of them. 9 passengers, poof, all the way through. Didn't pull anyone aside. I think that's what they should do in the U.S., but, of course, why would you do that? Because then it would cause massive embarrassment. You could announce and say, okay, listen, as part of our beefed-up security, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have plants around the United States who are going to continually, like the secret shopper, they're going to continually test various airports all around the United States, just randomly, and we'll see what gets through. But they would never do that, because I think things would get through. That's it. That's what would happen. Remember, there were people that tested that theory in the U.S.? I mean, not people connected to the government, just random people who thought, I'm going to try to do this. And almost 9 times out of 10, they busted the system. They got through. And then, of course, no laughing matter, they got arrested for doing that. But I think it's a great idea. Try to expose what obviously is weak out there, or maybe you find out that it's not. Maybe they actually catch it. The thing I fear is that most of us are going to catch cold when we're practically strip searched and we have nothing to do with anything with planes that we're not in the blowing up the planes of business, and that's what's going to happen. It's more of the same jokes over and over and over and over again. Well, this isn't a joke. We're giving away the Dave Peltz Golf School gift certificate. We're doing that in a drawing in our next hour. Remember, I said anybody who participated and nailed the score, whether you sent us your guesses through the email route at americatonight.net, or the old-fashioned way you dialed the digits week after week. This is an aside. This isn't, you know, of course, we have the big prize package that somebody could still win when we do the whole playoff thing, and we're going to do that on Thursday, pick a playoff game, and we'll see if anybody gets lucky and wins it. We have a couple of weeks, certainly, all the way through the Super Bowl for that. But this is just a drawing as an aside to all the other stuff that we're handing out. I'm crossing my fingers big time. We heard from Al, and of course we also heard earlier in the show from Sam, and the Canadians of anybody, we just talked about what happened in Dublin, the Canadians of anybody is really taking this serious. Full body scanners are going to be in Canada because of what happened on Christmas Day in the U.S. The transportation minister said 44 machines are going to be bought. 12 are going to be put in place already this month, and the rest operational in the spring. Yeah. So they're not taking any chances. It's not a deal about privacy. In fact, the Canadians tested the scanners at a British Columbia airport in 2008. They got the blessing of Canada's privacy czar last October. And they're doing it. Britain, Nigeria, and the Netherlands have already said that they're going to do the body scanner thing, too. In the U.S., you know, it's that question of the Liberty thing. How far do you want them to go? I don't think you've got airports that are testing it, but the sheer cost would prevent it from being all the way across the board anyway. It would have to be a smattering of who's going to pony up the money, where they're going to put them, because as you know from our last show, I announced that it was a ridiculous amount of money that they were spending on the actual screening process. It was like $128 million of all the budgetary items. So much was being eaten up by other things that hardly anything was being spent in this country on the screening process. $128 million you can spend in a day. If you think of all the airports, not just the huge ones, the regional ones, the hubs, all that stuff. There's no way that's enough money to move forward with whatever kind of procedures you're going to do, or figure out ways to prevent other things from happening. You can send me your thoughts, as always, at americatonight.net. A few of you have already done that. I promise we will get to a mailbag segment. Often we forget because we're rolling along on so many other things, but we will do that in our next hour, just like giving away the golf certificate. That will happen in the next hour as well. So I hope that you're going to roll on through with us and you have the capability to do so.
If I'm not back in 5 minutes, just wait longer.